Hard-hitting text alerts.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gulf Coast Kids House.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable, 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. And of course, you can find us on the app, 850-437-1620, if you'd like to join the conversation today. Stacy Kostavicki, did I say that right?
You did.
All right, wonderful. And Rachel Smith from Gulf Coast Kids House are our guests on Pep Talk today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So for people not familiar with Gulf Coast Kids House, I've certainly been there, had meetings there. It's a great organization. But tell us a little bit about the organization and what it does.
Sure. I'll start off with the biggest misconception, which is that children stay there. We do not have any residential children, but we are on 12th Avenue right by Cactus Flower, and we are a child advocacy center, which is a fancy way of saying that we've brought together all of the professionals and resources that are needed to investigate, treat, and prosecute child abuse cases in Escambia County. So unfortunately, we stay very busy, but we also stay busy with a lot of positive activities like the mental health recovery for these kids and child abuse prevention education in our Escambia County schools.
Okay. So if people have issues, do they come directly to your facility and start there? How does the process start?
The process actually starts with either the Department of Children and Families or law enforcement. A case of a suspected abuse has to be called in there first, and then they'll be referred to Gulf Coast Kids House. And then at the kids house, we do a recorded interview with the child so that they're not having to repeat their story of trauma over and over again. We get to freeze all of those details in time to help with prosecution down the road. We also do medical exams on site so that we can document any injuries, but more importantly, let the child know that their body's okay. And we have two full-time prosecutors with the state attorney's office at the building, and we have a mental health partner, Lutheran Services Florida, that does the mental health treatment for our kids.
Oh, wow. So how many staff total are on site?
We are small but mighty. We have a lot of partner agencies, so those are not staff of Gulf Coast Kids House. There are about 54 people that are in the building. Mm-hmm. As far as staff of Kids House, we're a mighty 11, and that's... So we stay very busy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very secure building, too. I know that every time I've showed up, you have to go through the buzzer and identify who you are. It's very secure and safe for people to be.
Yes, we have implemented a lot of security enhancements over the years.
Okay, wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about the numbers, because I was actually going through one of your annual reports, and I was actually very surprised to see the breakdown in terms of the ages of the kids that are being abused and the percentage, I guess the highest number of kids that are experiencing that. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. We see about 3,000 kids each year, and currently Escambia County is, I think, fourth per capita of counties in the state of Florida for reports of suspected child abuse. The shocking thing that I think you're referring to, one of them, is that our victims tend to be 50-50 male-female. I think a lot of people think that child abuse only happens to females, but we do see about a 50-50 split. Additionally, another part that is shocking at first is that most of our victims are age 0 to 6. When you think about that logically or as a perpetrator might, that makes a lot more sense because those kids are less visible in the community, they're less able to express what's happening to them, and they're also less likely to know that what's happening to them is wrong. So it's just increased vulnerability with our young kids and with kids that might have a disability.
So how do members of the community, how do daycare centers, I'm thinking, because they might have exposure to these kids, teachers in a classroom, how do you go about identifying who's at risk?
So there are state-mandated trainings for our educators and child care providers. We also offer additional training with No Child Abuse. It's knowchildabuse.org. The biggest thing that we tell caregivers in our community is the best way to prevent abuse is to talk about children's bodies and what is and isn't appropriate early and often. It's kind of like the fire drills. You know, we all learned in school that you stop, drop, and roll, and it wasn't a scary thing, but you knew what to do if something happened. Mm-hmm. And so I wish we would treat child abuse a little bit more like that and just have those discussions early with our kids, because then it's not this big, scary subject if something happens, and making sure that your kids know that whatever happens to them, it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. As far as spotting signs of child abuse, I wish that, you know, kids would turn purple or something so that we knew that something was happening with them. But unfortunately, it's not that easy to spot. We typically tell people to look for any change in behavior, and that can be if a child's particularly gregarious and then they become more withdrawn, or vice versa, or if they start regressing and bedwetting, things like that, or start to have hygiene problems. If you are headed to someone's house and they're really resistant and don't want to go, that might be more than they just don't want to go to that house. Mm. So asking open-ended questions so that you're not introducing any kind of evidence for the child or hurting their disclosure, but just open-ended questions and making sure that they know you're a safe adult they can go to.
So I know that the most obvious form of abuse probably would be the physical, because that's something that people can see. But obviously children are experiencing verbal abuse, mental abuse. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, at the kids' house, we focus more specifically on sexual abuse, egregious physical abuse, and medical neglect, but we definitely see those mental injury cases as well. And those, honestly, can be some of the most heartbreaking, especially with our young kids, because if you're an infant and you're not getting the touch, the food that you need, if you're being neglected as a child, then you miss those opportunities to develop properly emotionally. If you see a child that has been mentally abused, you might see it through while they're playing with their toys, they're calling their doll an idiot or things like that. So really looking for that language, because kids are a reflection of their environment, and what they see and learn at home is what they're going to see and act in the community.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you have 3,000 kids that you serve. Are those all considered cases that have to be reported and opened? Or I guess what are the numbers there in terms of like how many cases are being opened, how many are taking the next step to something else?
Sure. When I explain the kid's house, I wish there was a visual for this one. It's kind of like an upside down triangle. So the Department of Children and Families and law enforcement are the broadest base of the triangle. So they're the ones that receive the most reports with the most victims. From there, the next layer of that triangle is our child protection team. And those are kids that by statute have their abuse has risen to a level that they need to see a medical provider and have that recorded interview. So with them, there's about 60 to 70 forensic interviews that are happening each month. And then from there, you go down to prosecution. So you have to see if our law enforcement and state prosecutors, of course, have a huge burden of beyond a reasonable doubt and everything. So as you get down that triangle, the number of kids being served by those agencies decreases. Mm-hmm. Mental health is somewhere in the middle, because we do also see there are cases that have to be referred to us, like if there's a broken bone and no one can explain how it happened, but Timmy says he fell off the monkey bars. We will assess for that and make sure that the break is consistent, that the disclosure is consistent. And we love it when it's not abuse, but by statute, we still need to see that child.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about it. We can move into partnerships that Gulf Coast Kids House has in the community. So talk to me a little bit about that, both the local and state partnerships, as well as other partnerships with maybe other businesses and other organizations in the community.
Yeah, in addition to our internal partners, I want to take just a quick opportunity. We were extremely fortunate yesterday to receive a $100,000 gift from Sandy Sansing.
That is awesome.
It's amazing. It's going to go toward continuing to expand our mental health services, and he's just been a champion for all children in Escambia County, really, for as long as he's been here, but especially for us as we've been here in now our 20th year.
Mm.
But inside Kids House, we partner with local law enforcement, both Pensacola Police Department and the Sheriff's Office, and Child Protection Team, which is a Department of Health contract, the State Attorney's Office, Department of Children and Families, and Lutheran Services Florida, who's a local nonprofit agency.
Mm-hmm. And talk to me a little bit about Lutheran Social Services, because I know that they do quite a lot. And so I would guess that you're relying on them for counseling services and things like that for the families and kids.
Yes, we have Gulf Coast Kids House employs a couple of counselors ourselves, but Lutheran Services also is our mental health partner. I like to tell people they are not Lutheran. They are just kind of like our friends at the YMCA or ARC. They're a victim of an older name. But they do provide mental health services for the child victims, non-offending caregivers, and their siblings. And all of these services at the kids' house will never cost the family. They'll never get a bill for anything that happens there.
Okay. So Stacy Kostovicki and Rachel Smith from Gulf Coast Kids House is our guest today. 850-437-1620 if you'd like to text in any questions for them. Talk to me a little bit more, I guess, about additional community partnerships. You mentioned Sandy Sansing, so you're approaching businesses in the community to support the mission and goals of the Gulf Coast Kids House. Other business partners in the community that you'd like to highlight?
Absolutely. The Levin family has been amazing to us, whether it's Levin Papantonio or Levin Rinke or Levin Real Estate. And we also, I want to highlight Clark Partington. They were one of our first partners for Business in the Know. Mm-hmm. That is a child abuse prevention education effort that we do. And it is where a company will commit to having 100% of their staff complete our no child abuse training. But on top of that, they also agree to add it to their employee onboarding process so that every employee that's coming into that company also receives the training. So they were really a champion of that, and we've got a host of other businesses in the know that I, of course, am blanking on at the moment, but perhaps Rachel will remember some as well.
Honestly, you know, I'm racking my brain as well. We have a list.
We do have a list.
We have a list back at Kids House.
Ascension Sacred Heart has been incredible as well with not only the child abuse training, because that's they see all the pediatrics in the area, but also just as a partner, because sometimes we do need radiology and all different things for our kiddos, and Sacred picks up that bill.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we had talked briefly about like school districts and daycare centers, things like that. Are they taking the trainings?
Yes, Escambia County School District has also been a great partner. We provide child abuse prevention education for grades K through 5. They are working with us to try to get into the middle and high schools, and we do entertain every invitation to principals' meetings and that sort of thing, PTAs, to help get that education out.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed on your website you do have a request a tour and training as well.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about that.
So you can go on our website, which is just gulfcoastkidshouse.org, and request either a tour, which typically Stacy, myself, or we have a couple other people that do tours as well in-house, or request a training. And so we have a really fabulous prevention coordinator. Her name is Amy Stamey. And for any of the kids that have been at school on training day, she has a really fun British accent. And the kids love it, and the teachers love it.
I think I've met her, actually.
You probably have. She's a very memorable woman, honestly, not just because of the accent. But and so she does all of our no child abuse trainings and all of our trainings within the schools. And so we actually just want to touch on this. We do have a public training that is coming up at Kids House. That is open to everyone. So if you're interested in getting some no child abuse training, if you want to become certified in that, that is going to be on September 19th. It's at 12:30. So I don't remember exactly what day that is exactly, but it's September 19th, whatever day of the week that is, at 12:30. So you can come on your lunch hour. And all you have to do to come to that is just email Amy, and her email is prevention2@gulfcoastkidshouse.org. So she's really excited about that, and we're hoping that we'll get some good community members to be interested and come out and take that training for us.
Wonderful. Just real briefly, what's the program like during that training? What can people expect?
So no child abuse training, it's actually a really fabulous, I've taken it several times myself. I try to do it every year because it's a really fantastic training. It's 3 sets of videos that we do. So it's a 40-minute training. It's completely free. And we have these really fantastic videos that we worked with ID Group on and LEAP as well to get that set up for us, this entire training. And it's nothing Stace, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's not scary. Yes. It's, scare tactics don't work.
No, it's very informational. Honestly, and I just, it's going to sound so strange, I enjoy watching it every time. I always learn something else. Something else sticks in my brain every time I watch it. It's just extremely informational. And we've got a few, you know, local celebs on there, so that's always nice too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a 40-minute video training. There's a pre-test, there's a post-test. It's just 10 simple questions. And those are really just for you to kind of, the pre-test is, it's for you to kind of test your knowledge on, like, you know, you think you might know more than you actually do, or might be misremembering a fact or something like that. And so I find that pretest really helpful for people as well, that say, you know, they know about Kids House, but maybe they don't know all the things that we do, or they know a little bit about child abuse, but not as much as they could. So you take the pretest, watch these videos. I always like to take notes just because I'm weird like that. and then you take the post-test, and every time you take the post-test, you just find, like, yourself in, like, feeling more confident and more educated in not just what Kids House does, but with child abuse in general, and just, and knowing the facts are so important in order to help mitigate child abuse in our area. Mm-hmm. Escambia County is really, really high. Actually, Florida, in the state of, in the U.S., Florida is number 4 in the nation for child abuse. And within that, Escambia County is number 10. Dang. So that is one in 9 children in Escambia County. So I always like to tell people, just think about that like a classroom. An elementary school classroom, for example, has, what, 26 kids? So at least 2 of those children statistically are dealing with abuse and neglect at home. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that when you're at the park with your kids, or if you're at the skating rink or whatever people take their kids to now, you know, just even knowing that one fact is really important. And no child abuse training teaches you how to spot the signs. It's super, which is important.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we both love about this training is it's empowering. It's
it really is. Yeah.
It reminds everyone that even though a child may not be your child, it's the community's responsibility to know what to look for and to feel comfortable that when you make a report of suspected abuse, it's not like a death sentence for this family. It's just a way to get professionals in the house to see what's going on and to offer assistance for the family.
Okay. And just knowing that number, too, the hotline, Florida has a 24-hour abuse hotline, and it's 1-800-96-ABUSE. So knowing that number, and people think they'll call and that kid immediately is going to get taken from that family, and that's just not true. And so just knowing that information as well is really helpful, because if you're concerned, if you, you know, are questioning something out in the community, just call that phone number and have that child looked at, because you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be nothing, but it could be something, and you could be saving a child's life.
Absolutely. Definitely want to leave a few minutes here to talk about dragon boat races, steak cook-off, chances to interact with Gulf Coast Kids House and raise some funds for a good cause.
We have so many fun events coming up.
So many partnerships.
Yes. And so October is a really busy month for us. And so on October 11th, Seville Rotary is hosting their 12th annual steak cook-off, which I went to somehow last year for the very first time. And it's now my favorite event of the year. Mm-hmm. And so they have 20 teams that do a steak cook-off just purely for bragging rights, which is incredible, and we all get to benefit off of it. So with that, Gulf Coast Kids House is one of the beneficiaries. And so if you go to our website, again, gulfcoastkidshouse.org, we have a unique ticket link, and so we're selling tickets for that event because we get some of the proceeds from that, along with a few other local nonprofits in town. And then if you really want to party that weekend, the very next day is Dragon Boat Festival, which is also really, really fun. And that's hosted by Sertoma Pensacola Club, Northeast Sertoma, excuse me. So that is on Saturday, October 12th. And then our most fun event of the year is Gulf Coast Kids House. We host our annual fundraiser brunch and bubbles, and that is going to be on Sunday, October 27th. That is at 11 a.m. We do have some tickets and sponsorships that are still open for that. So if you have questions, hit me up. You can go on our website. That will be right under that State Cook-Off and Dragon Boat. Everything's on the same page. So if you want more information, just head over to that events page on our website. But yeah, Brunch and Bubbles, our fantastic partner, again, Sandy Sansing, is our presenting sponsor this year, which is phenomenal. It's going to be out at Portofino Island Resort, which is gorgeous. And it's Havana themed. So it's going to be really, really fun. This is the first year we've had a theme. And so it's going to be Havana themed. We're going to have some lively music, some bright colors, all kinds of fun stuff. And we've got our fantastic honorary chairs that are basically our new best friends. Stacy and I are kind of in love with them.
A little bit.
Yes, Steve and Shelly Black, who
VIP
won.
Pensacola ambassadors.
Yes.
They have their Blab show. They are just so fun.
They're so fun. So fun. They run Bread and Table Club, which is a different 501c3 here in town, as well as their business that they run, which is Green Procedures, Inc. And so we've got our honorary chairs. We'll have our fantastic VIP sponsors there, which is Bear Family Foundation. And, of course, another wonderful partner of ours, which is Ascension Sacred Heart Children's Hospital. So it's going to be a really fun event, and I'm stoked, honestly. I'm really excited about it. Of course, I'm planning it, so I'm a little biased, but yeah. It's going to be really, really fun.
Rachel knows how to throw a good event.
I do. I love to throw a good, especially a good brunch party. That's my favorite kind.
One more time, the website for our registration and how people can sign up to be part of these.
So yes. So all of that is on our website, on our events page of our website, which is just www.gulfcoastkidshouse.org. So go to our events page, all three of those events, along with the links to get tickets and all of that. Everything is on that events page.
And if people have an interest in volunteering or making a donation, they can do that there as well.
Same website, or I'll be bold here and give out my email. It's events@GulfCoastKidsHouse.org if you have questions.
Well, that is awesome. Well, once again, Stacy Kostavicki and Rachel Smith from Gulf Coast Kids House, thank you so much for being part of Pep Talk today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Have a great day.